hello everybody and welcome to Maximum Libertarian. This is Brian. I am so glad you took the time to click that button to listen to this podcast. So if you will, wherever you're listening to it, please give us a 5-star review, make good comments about us, and help us out by doing something as simple as that. You don't even have to pay for anything. You can also go over to MaximumLibertarian.com and you will see how you can help support us currently. Well, what's today? It's April 10th, and I have some... I want to say this is like my final time that I'm going to come on here and complain about it. I've did it on my live streams. I've done it on podcasts. But I feel like we have finally hit the wall. I have hit the wall, not we. I have hit the wall with the volunteer services that I have done and participate in. And it's kind of depressing because what happens is you have bad things go down, and then you go to the general public, it might be your friends, it might be coworkers, and you start to vent a little bit. Well, typically what they don't, typically what they'll say is, why would I even join the Libertarian Party? Why would I join American Legion or any other veterans organization? Because all you ever do is complain about it. So let's just do a brief history on my volunteer work. Now, if I knew how to bring people to the party, to the veterans organization, to the church that I attend, I would not be talking to you right now because I'd be out selling my book. I'd be a multimillionaire. I'd have better friends, better life, all that good stuff, because I would understand how to get people to come to my facility with the algorithm of my voice. So let's just begin. I went into the United States Navy. And when I went in, I was a Republican. I even made the comments on several occasions back in the 90s where there was an independent running, like Ross Perot or whomever. I did not know of the Libertarian Party. So I never badmouthed them, but I was bad mouth and any other third party that I would hear about, because, you know, I know our past senator here in the state of Virginia, John Warner, he wasn't a good guy. He was the first guy, I remember, I think it was 1996, and Senator Warner took a picture of Mark Warner, who was running against him, and Doug Wilder, who was the governor at the time, and President Clinton. And what they did, he took, Mark Warner was over to the right of the picture. He was still in the group, but he took Mark Warner's head off, the body, they took it off, they photoshopped it, and they put it onto the gentleman who was shaking Clinton's hand, and Doug Wilder's hand, maybe, I can't remember, it was the three of them in the center, but they actually changed the picture, and it came out within a day. Like, look, this picture's a fake. They used a computer. Like I said, this is the first time I'd ever seen a photoshopped picture like that, and that's what they did. They took it, and John Warner's people said the reason we did that was because it still shows that Mark Warner would be extremely tight with John Warner and with President Clinton and Doug Wilder. Needless to say, John Warner I don't know what the percentage was. I wasn't that heavily into politics, but I know I voted for John Warner. That was one of the first, that was the first vote I ever did where I was very hesitant to pull that trigger and give my support, because by me voting for John Warner, that told the, not only did it tell John Warner, but it told the entire Republican Party or any party, I'm cool with you lying, cheating, and stealing to get a vote. So that was the first time, and I always remember that one. I even voted, but one of the statements was, oh my gosh, we can't vote for Mark Warner, because if Mark Warner gets in there, you know, Mark Warner's gonna, he's a Democrat, and we know how Democrats lead, exactly like how Republicans lead. At the time, I did not know that, but, you know, it was, they used to sell it so well that the Republican Party truly cared for the individuals out there. So, all right, time goes on. 2000, I joined the United States Navy. And while I'm in there, I really watch hardly any news. I watched a little bit. I knew what was going on, but nothing crazy. I remember being on the boat, and when they had to make it, when they made the announcement that George W. Bush had won the presidency from Al Gore. And I remember I was happy with that. I voted for George Bush. Of course, he started the war with Dick Cheney and all the other responsible parties. Not just them too. I think a lot of times we like to just go, well, you know, it's George Bush's fault. It's Dick Cheney's. No, it's a lot of people's fault. So they should all be punished for that. Okay. So we go through it. 2004, I voted for President Bush again. Reason being is because we're at war. John Kerry was trash. And I never really respected a individual that served in the military and threw his ribbons over the White House's fence. I think he said he was protest in Vietnam or something like that. But, and I talked to several individuals up there who knew John Kerry as a senator, and they did not trust him. They did not like him. And I kind of went off that. But at the same time, I was still a Republican. You keep going down the list, and then I still stayed Republican. I get out of the service in 2006. I'm a Republican, and then 2008 is when things started to change. Because, now, granted, I had been looking at the foreign policy, questioning, I was confused with some things. When you really sit back now, I was sitting back on, why did we go into Iraq? We knew Bin Laden was, from my understanding, in, was it Pakistan, I believe? There should have been one of those moments where we just go, look, this is who we want. Either give him to us or we go scorched earth on you. Well, that's what a normal, let's go kill every civilian and blow up neighborhoods and put people out, you know, let's just change governments, because that always works out so well when they do that. So, 2008, we get the wonderful Senator John McCain, and this guy shows up on Neil Cavuto, and it was just like they were giving him a little breadcrumbs. His name was Congressman Ron Paul. And within 5 minutes, if that, I said, oh my goodness, this guy makes sense to me. He's saying exactly what I need to hear, And Dr. Paul had, like I said, F5 minutes on Neil Cavuto's show. And 2008 primaries was here in Virginia. I wasn't even going to vote. I mean, I was checking out of the Republican Party. I was just standing by the flag just because that's how we always do it. And someone had put a Ron Paul for president yard sign in the center of the highway. And I went, oh my gosh, it's primary day. Let me go. That was my first time I voted for Ron Paul. And, of course, John McCain, pretty much the warmonger. I know everyone loves to... You know, once bad people... And I'm not... He made bad policies. He might have been a great guy. I don't know. But he had really, really, really bad policies. He liked war, which is weird because he was a prisoner of war. You would think he would try to stay out of conflicts, but he really raced to them. And when he came, when he won the nomination, he pretty much laid down. And at the same time, they selected Sarah Palin, who I probably have issues with. I know I have issues with some of her thought patterns and things. But the way that they tore her down and ripped her apart inside the Republican Party. And the Democrats were no better. So it's not just because Democrats pretend to like women. They are trash on women's rights also. And then... So the only reason I voted for John McCain was because of Sarah Palin. I held my nose and said, all right, that's it. Then the Tea Party, you know, Barack Obama gets elected. Then the Tea Party shows up, you know, let's keep them constitutional conservatives and all that good stuff. Okay, so the Tea Party shows up. I go to a Tea Party before it gets hijacked by the Republican Party. It's a place called Elmwood Park here in Roanoke. And there's a table for this thing called the Libertarian Party. Now, I never heard of this third party, the Libertarians. If I had, it just went in one ear, out the other, you know. Nothing special. So, I talked to them. They said, we meet at the library on the second Monday of each month. And I said, wow, that's pretty cool. But I'm still a Republican. Well, whenever I was off, I would go to a LP meeting. If I was working, I just skipped it. It didn't really matter to me. Then in 2000, so that was 2008, 2009, I started dipping my toe into the Libertarian Party because I'm seeing the Republican Party aren't doing what they claim to do. And even now, they will gladly try to pretend that they're going to fight for your freedoms and your liberties and all that stuff, but they are nothing more. They're spineless jellyfish that just let people roll over them. They won't go in and, you know, just do something to even fight back. They're pull all your teeth and remove your spine. That's the Republican. That's how you win a nomination for them. And so in 2010, Roanoke City Republicans. And you got to figure the Ron Paul revolution was still rolling. You know, a lot of momentum, a lot of young kids. So I tried to go over here. I did a little with the Roanoke City Republicans. They had a couple people run for... city council, and they asked me if I would, after I worked a precinct, and some guy sent me an email and was like, would you like to be the precinct captain for this area? And that just pretty much means you'll man it, you'll get the individuals to work from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., that's what the times are here in Virginia. And as the captain, that's, you know, I'd be responsible to get the water to them and handouts and all that good stuff. Well, I sent back the email. I said, well, the only reason I don't want to do this is because I'll do it if I like the candidates. And at the look, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into the Roanoke City. So 99.9% of the time, if there's someone other than a Democrat on the ballot, they'll get my vote. That's not an endorsement. It's just me throwing a monkey wrench in there. I would love to see Libertarians run, but we can get on to that later on in this show. Okay. Now, fast forward. They're going to have a change of leadership, the new chair. This one individual who was wanting to be the Roanoke City Republicans chair, he was also part of the Roanokers for Ron Paul. That Ron Paul Revolution, I knew him. He had come over to the Libertarian stuff, helped us out a little bit. He said, "Will you come down and vote for me?" I said, "Sure." So I had to rejoin the Republican Party of Roanoke City. So I paid $25. He brought four people down there. It wasn't a big turnout, but he brought four people down there. And they said that the individuals that showed up, they will not be sworn in as new members until after this election. And then we can go from there. Well, after that point, it was like, well, why am I even going to hang around? Because the reason I was here was to vote for the candidate, John Brill. And so I left. And I went and joined a Libertarian Party. And that was the end of it. I mean, I was now a Libertarian. Now, okay, they got $25. I said, you know what? You keep the $25. That's a donation. I just didn't join the party. I didn't, because John asked me if I wanted to have the check back. I said, nah, y'all just keep and do whatever with it. Okay, fast forward, 2012. Ron Paul gets screwed by the Republican Party. They went with the spineless, teethless Mitt Romney, and Ron Paul could have challenged Barack Hussein Obama. And what did they do? They screwed Ron Paul, and they went with Mitt Romney. Now, let me just tell you this. In the between years, they were now going to have to do another chair for Roanoke City Republicans. They said, but instead of having to be dues-paying member of the Republican Party, which, in my personal opinion, if you are an affiliate, if you are a state person, if that individual shows up and they just pay day of, I can actually understand why they didn't want me there, why they didn't give me the right, because it's not my responsibility. If I'm not going to stay there, if I'm just there to put the worst person in charge of your organization, you have no skin in the game. You know, so I honestly do understand why they said that. So, but that also just pushed me. I was already out the door. I'm just now standing out the door. The door is open, but now we got that going. So John ran for chair, and it was organized by the Roanokers for Ron Paul. Everyone came down there, and it was over 100 people came down there to the Roanoke City Republican meeting, because it was an open primary. It was, so you didn't have to be a member of the party to vote. I went down there to get my $25 vote back, and I was going to vote for John. So I took my brother, who was a member of Roanoke City. He didn't care, and we're sitting there. And this is the question that comes up, and it's still to this day. The individual goes, now, there were several people who said, John knocked on the doors. I never saw the Roanoke City Republicans. He was the first one I ever saw. He was very nice. He did a lot of good things. There was a couple things he did that was absolutely right compared to the current chair at the time. Well, John was also going around telling everyone how bad this guy was and how he wants to take over and come on out and he's horrible. So that now we get, now we're standing there. They're standing there. We're sitting watching. And this is a packed house. They sit. The guy looks at John and says, "If I was everything you ever wanted to do, we put through. You said you wanted that guy to be the head of that committee. We voted him in. He never came back to another meeting after that. You wanted this, you got it. If I was doing such a bad job, why didn't you come to me? Why were you going behind my back telling everybody?" John looked like a deer in headlights, okay? This guy to the side, I don't know what his name is. He just says, "No, the real important question is, if you, whoever our nominee is, are you going to support him?" And of course John goes, "Yes, I'll vote for Mitt Romney," even though he's been hanging out with all the Roanokers for Ron Paul. But it was such a question, I was so tempted to tap my brother on the arm and say, "Don't vote for John, vote for the other guy." I should have stood up and said, "No, I want to know the answers to that question." Because John couldn't. Like, when I was doing stuff with the Libertarians, and we had Melissa was the chair, anything I wanted, I would just go to her. She would let me do. I never went behind her back and said, "Oh, Melissa's such a bad job. Oh, she's doing such this." And then there was never. I wish she was still with the group. But that's a whole nother story, and we'll probably get to it later on in this conversation. So John wins it, and then a year or two later, whenever they do their next convention to get a new chair, I remember he reached out to, now they, instead of having an open vote, a mass meeting where anyone can show up, only Republicans can come, and I believe. And it was reduced greatly. And John barely won. He still won by, 10, 15 votes or 20 votes, whatever. If memory serves, I really don't care. But that's, he barely won. But I remember he reached out to us and was like, "Hey, can you come and vote for me?" And I said to him, "I'm no longer Republican, and I don't feel that it's my right, or I don't think it's responsible for me to come and get involved with who they want as their leader." It's no different than John coming to the RVL and voting for whoever is chair. He's going away as soon as he votes. It's not his responsibility. If they don't want that individual, then that's the way it is. So I said, "No, I'm not coming." All right, so we go on. Now, the dates are really blurry. We've had Rob Sarvis ran in 2014, he ran for U.S. Senate, because he ran for governor and he ran for U.S. Senate. We were going to every gun show from about 2010, 2011. We were at the Roanoke City Gun Show, Salem City Gun Show. We had a table. And when we were doing that, we were collecting sick emails, and every so often we collected little donations, but we were there. Okay. 2014, the brain dead idiots of the gun show, whoever, you can look them up, whoever runs Roanoke City's gun show, they said it's because of us that Ken Cuccinelli did not win the governorship, and they said that we are no longer able to have a free table at their event. And I said, "Well, what happens if I pay for a table?" They said, "Nope, you cannot set up a table. You're barred. You're kicked out of here." And I've never darkened the doorstep of that facility. And even though I'm now with the American Legion and Vets, VFW, and I think that's a place to go to have when we do gun raffles and things, I can't even bring myself to say, "Let's go there," because I know I will not walk into that facility, that place, because they can go to fucking hell for all I care. You know? Because she's a brain-dead idiot. You put your eggs in the baskets of the Republican Party, and they sell you down the river. Donald J. Trump said, I believe we should take the guns and ask questions later. That's against the Second Amendment, stupid. Okay? He signed the bump stock ban. Good job, dummy. That's a Second Amendment violation. He don't support your Second Amendment right. Sorry about getting aggravated, but that's the truth. Once we left the gun show, you know, you still had your Tea Party and you had your second Monday or second Tuesday Constitution, whatever the hell they were called. And, all right, so now they're out doing their little thing, trying to pretend that they're, you know, because we're going to fight the Republican Party. But they all they do is vote Republican Party. That's why they failed. They tell you how bad Bob Gutlatte is, but at the same side of their the other side of their mouth, they're telling you how they're going to vote for Bob Gutlatte, how they're going to vote for Mitt Romney, how they're going to vote for George Allen, even though these guys have been sitting here telling you how bad they were. But we've got to vote that route. Okay. That's why the Roanoke City Tea Party, or all Tea Parties, not just Roanoke Tea Parties, because there's a couple guys in there I do like, and I don't think, but they were heavily inundated with losers from the Republican Party. And when you tell someone, these guys are bad, but we got to vote for the bad guys, ladies and gentlemen, you still get bad guys. Okay, so we got kicked out of the gun show. We had Cliff Hirer run for governor in 2017. They picked him up. He was a great guy. I think he was a great candidate. I would have loved to have actually seen him run a campaign. But with Cliff, his wife was pregnant. And he was... Yeah, that was it. He couldn't really be away except for X amount of hours away because she could be in labor any moment. He was a paper candidate, and I think that's fine. But when Rob Sarvis was, he was all over the place. We could have had double digits, but Glenn Beck lied and said that the Democrats were funding Rob Sarvis, which was a complete lie, and the Republicans still push that lie to this day. So we had Cliff Hirer, then we had Matt Waters roll in 2018. He ran for U.S. Senate, but Matt Waters, even though he's a lifetime Libertarian Party member, he still ran right back to the Republican Party. And as we got, we had Gary Johnson did very well in 2012 and 2016 for president. Joe Jorgensen, obviously that was the COVID years, so it was kind of hard for her and Spike Cohen to really make impacts. I think it could have done a lot better. I wish Spike would have been top of the ticket because he's a better representation when it comes to speaking. She, I think, if you read her works, she's fine. Joe Jorgensen, that is. But Spike, you need, when you vote for a president, you need someone who can be like that cheerleader, someone who can speak and make you go, okay, rally the troops with your voice. Okay? So since then, we've been mediocre. We've been slipping down a little bit, I feel, here in this state. And I mean, look, I'm throwing stones, but I'm throwing them right at my own house because I've been the chair of RVL since 2018, and I've been the 6th district chair since 2014, I believe. And COVID just took all of our memberships away. You can't get individuals to come along and Everyone will come along and tell you how libertarian they are, but then it's like, well, I need you to do this. No. And they never come back. You don't even tell them that you need them to do anything. Just come back. And no one shows back up. Sorry to let everyone know. I know it breaks everyone's heart, but this is reality. When you run in a volunteer basis, you get some, like, Republicans, I feel no sympathies for the Republican Party here in the city. If they can hold little Ronald Reagan fundraiser dinners and get a lot of money, because they get to run around and say, see, we're one of the two major parties, if you want to. And then, like, as John Brill did, he went to the Second Tuesday Constitution Group. Someone said, why don't we join the Libertarian Party? He said that he made some snide remarks about us and pretty much cut our throats, even though he would come to our meetings all the time and pretend to be our friend. So he showed up here a few weeks ago or a few months ago. And I remember, see, that's where I get, I should have just told him to leave, asked him to leave. But it's open to everybody. I usually want to open it up to everybody because I like to hear other thoughts. But he started the same dumb shit, talking about the Whig Party and how he read a 900-page book and I said some things that maybe I shouldn't have, but I don't care. I mean, I lied. I know that might come to a shock to some of you, but I actually made a. I told him, I said, I don't like the Republican Party and I don't like you. And I said, well, I didn't mean to say I don't like you. I did mean to say that. And I wasn't expressing myself right. Now, I don't like the Republican Party and I don't have no issues. I don't really care for John. You cut my throat behind my back. You cut my group. And now you're showing up wanting to see if we'll try to team up with the stupid Republican Party of Roanoke City. Look, like I said, I'll vote. I'll give your candidate a vote, but they're never going to speak at my group. I don't give a damn if we had 4 people there, if we had 100 people there. You're not speaking. The only people that from the other parties that can speak, if you're an actual representative, so like Ben Klein could come, Sam Rizul, Dave, whatever, from, you know, he's a Republican. But it's so frustrating. And, you know, what I'm saying now, okay, so now that's the history of my thing. So now what we are at is the Libertarian Party of Roanoke City, the RVL. Roanoke Valley Libertarians, we're truly at a crossroads. I need help, but no one wants to come out and help. Everyone will tell you how they don't like the system, the current system, but when you say you got to put your, you know, the rubber's got to meet the road, it's eventually, you should have asked me yesterday. I wasn't busy yesterday, but now today I'm very busy. Well, what about next week? Well, I'm tied up until the last time. Well, what about the week after? Well, you should have asked me once again yesterday. You should have asked me yesterday. I would have been completely free. If you look at the libertarians are so hell-bent on eating their own. So we're now, okay, so now, like I said, you can't get no help, but people want you to do things. Then you have, like I said, libertarians eating their own. Okay? Now let's talk about that. We have this wonderful organization that several months ago, I don't even know when it came to me, it was called the LNCExposed.com, and this is their action. Here are two actions to take right now. Number one, cancel your LP national membership, and then number two, join and reform your state party. At your next state convention, sign up to become a delegate at 2024 Libertarian National Convention, and then vote the entire committee out. There's also 5 examples of why we should vote them out. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If I don't like the chair, if I don't like the commander at my American Legion or the AMFETs or whatever, guess what? I don't tell you to quit. I don't tell you to go home. I say, find something you can do to help grow the post without, you know, and then you don't have to interact with the individual. Because if Commander A does poorly, you do poorly. If the chair over there does poorly, you do poorly. So, one, you work together, you make sure everyone looks good, and then guess what? The pendulum swings back, and then people that you like are back in power. So then, when you go, hey, I would like to have some help on this committee, people go, all right, I'll help out. But if you're running around sending out stupid 3x5s of how you should quit the National Party, when I say, I'm sending out this 3x5, say quit, I get put back in power. I'm going to say, hey, who can help me out here? People are going to be like, weren't you trying to tell everyone to leave? Didn't you harm the party? I'm not helping you out. Piss off. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. So, this is where we're up against. They've done it to themselves, and in turn, it's trickled down to us. And then, like I said, I've talked about, I'm in American Legion, I'm in AMVETS, and they all come up at the same time in May. I guess that's why I'm so just angry right now inside, because you got individuals that are wanting to run for commander at the American Legion or AMVETS, and then you'll just what you get. Well, if so-and-so is the commander, I'm not going to help out any. I'll be damned if I'm going to listen to take orders from him. I'll be damned if I'm going to take orders from her. Uh-huh. So you want the post to fold. You want the affiliate to fold. Just say what it is. Don't come back after 2 years of telling me how the Mises Caucus sucked and then tell me that you want to help out. Why the hell am I... And I'm going to help out only for 3 months, 4 months. Well, what the fuck does that do for me? We're not even close to one another. I used to always think we were building friendships here. I really did. I truly did think when I was in the first starting. Come find out, there's no friends. This is all being co-workers. This is like going to work. You might have one friend there, maybe two friends. But the rest are co-workers. And you're not wishing harm on anyone but your co-workers. But I was under this fantasy of us being friends. And when I got stuck as being chair, that was when I really found out. Like I said, Melissa was the past chair. I was at this point, my folks were starting to get a little bit, having to go to the hospital, I was having to help out a little bit more with them. And I said, I think I'm going to resign as the 6th District Chair and let, while we were having a convention, I was going to let Will Hammer be the chair. And she says to me, oh, no. That's not a good idea. That's not a good idea. You need to sit back and think about it. Just relax, you know, think about it. And it sounded weird. And I also said, I wish I wouldn't have got so active with the American Legion because I'm the adjutant there, but there's no one there to replace me. So if I said, all right, I want to be the sergeant in arms, I want to be the chaplain, I want to be first vice commander, whatever, I want to be the commander. Well, there's no one to replace me as the adjutant. And I said, I just wish I was just there. There was a guy who came through, his name was Ed, and he would go to VFW. He was like us. He was like me. VFW, AMVETS. He was, you know, life member of all the facilities, veteran organizations. And all right, if they're going to put flags on the graves, he would go do that. If they're going to do a flag retirement ceremony, he'd go do that. He never took a position at a post. And that's really what it should have been. Well, I said I shouldn't have got so active. I should have just stayed in. When I did something they did I liked, I would help out. Oh, no. You're wrong. You shouldn't have done that. That's what I was told. Very next month, email comes out. I'm resigning as the 5th district chair, because she was the 5th district chair. I'm resigning as the 5th district chair. Works come up, or whatever the statement was. And I thought, motherfucker, man. You just told me to stay in. I didn't resign. Now I'm stuck here. I said, please. Sat through the meeting. I said, please, don't leave. You're going to stick with the RVL, right? You're going to stick because I still need you here. I said this. I need you here. Because it was me and her. We were the engine of this group. And her statement to me was, yes, absolutely, I'll stay here. I'm not going anywhere from here. Okay. I think it was the very next meeting she's resigning from the RVL. And the last time I had any interactions with her was a few weeks later, and she made some stupid comment to me about how I didn't even act like I cared about her leaving the chair and nonsense like that. So I knew right then and there, she was just looking for an excuse to leave. I don't play the whole drama queen. If you don't like something I did, and I know that I did something wrong that you might be agitated with, I'll make amendments, or I'll change, I'll say apologize, or I'll just keep doing it and just have to say, you're going to have to learn to live with it, you know. That being said, that's how I got told, and it was just like, well, what the hell am I going to do, you know? So she took off. You have other members coming. Oh, I'm going to. I'll be here for you. I'll whenever you need help. And it's been a complete cluster. People don't step up and help you out like they say they are. People will ignore you. That's the end of it. So now I'm stuck here. In May, or I'm sorry, it's April.
It's 3:22.
Nominations are out for the American Legion, AMVETS. We'll be having one next month for who wants to be on leadership of these different groups. And I know no one's going to run for the Roanoke Valley Libertarians chair. I would love to see someone step up. I would love to see a new treasurer. I would love to see a new vice chair. I would love to see new secretary. No one's going to step up. No one's going to step up for the 6th district. And no one new is stepping up for these veteran organizations, and because of that, they are dying. You're seeing, I've been here since 2010. You're seeing, and now I'm just regurgitating the exact same thing I did from 2010. I need a kid to come in, like when me, myself, Melissa, and Andy started the RVL. We were going to gun shows. We were going to Pride in the Park. We were going to the Apple Festival. We were going anywhere and everywhere that would let us set up a table. And now we're not doing anything. And I've told them, I said, look, I'm not the guy no more. If I can get help, we'll do it. If we can't get help, I don't do it. Back in the day, yeah, sure, I was going out there collecting signatures at DMV. I was collecting signatures downtown Roanoke, Blacksburg, wherever. I was going up and down Franklin County. I was getting signatures because I'm side by side with the 9th and 5th district, and I'm in the 6th, and I felt that it was my responsibility and my duty to help out get signatures. Well, now it's that point, and I have no desire to collect signatures. The end. So in turn, I sit around, I complain, I bitch and bellyache to individuals all the time. And I just wanted to come on here one last time. You can write this down, my friends. April 10th, 2024 is my last time, and I'm going to complain about this stuff. I'm not going to go down to, I might go down to AmVets tonight and have a couple beers, bitch about the no one stepping up to be the new commander or whatever position down there that needs to be filled. I might bitch about it tonight, But on April 11th, when I open these eyes, God willing, now I'm going to have to bottle it up. The hate's going to be, I'll probably spew this nonsense in my car. But when I go around and I talk to people, I'm only going to talk about the positive stuff of the Libertarian Party. I will only talk about the positive stuff of the American Legion, of AMVETS, of VFW, of DAV. Because, once again, no one wants to join a group when the leader or a member is all he's doing or all she's doing is bitching and pissing on it, on that group. So, I just had to take this time out. Like I said, this is the beginning and of a new day. I'll guarantee you on Sunday when I come back and I do my podcast, because as if you don't know yet, podcasts will be released on Wednesdays like this, and then on Sundays I'm going to be on Podbean, and it might just turn them into both of them being on Podbean, honestly, and being live, and then it gets released to you guys. That's probably how it's going to be, kids. So go to Podbean, look up Maximum Libertarian. You can listen to us live. You can call in. I don't give a damn where you're located. You can make statements. You can criticize. We'll talk live. Then I'm going to be doing some live streams. We're going to start that. But Wednesdays and Sundays, 45 minutes to an hour. That's all I'm asking you to invest with me. Share the show, if you will. Like the show. Like I said, give me some 5-star reviews on Apple. I mean, I don't know what Google does. I'm just mimicking what everybody else has to say. But I'm tired of bitching about the Libertarian Party. I'm tired of bitching about the different veteran organizations that I'm part of. When I say their names, when I say something about them, it's going to be positive and it's going to be constructive. It's not going to be. Remember, let's finish it up here. Vince Russo. He was the former writer for Booker for WWF, now WWE. And he was very new to the group. And Jim Cornette, him, do not like each other. So Jim Cornette would put out something like make an idea. And Vince Russo would say, that completely sucks. Times are changing. Blah, blah, blah. This is horrible idea. This sucks. Vince McMahon said, excuse me, I got to go inside. I got to take a phone call. Pat Patterson, a right-hand man to Vince McMahon at the time, was sitting there. He was sitting there with Vince Russo. He grabbed Russo by the arm. He said, I understand what you're saying. The idea might suck. The idea might be really bad. But he said, instead of saying that it sucks, it's really bad, what you need to say is, say, I understand what you're saying, I understand the idea, but what if? And then you add on to it. Don't piss on the ideas, because you're not going to make no friends. You can attract bees with honey, not with vinegar, I guess they say. But I thought that was always a wonderful story. And that's the thought that I want to leave you with. Instead of talking bad, when you hear stupid ideas, when you hear anything like that, say, I understand what you're saying, but what if? Don't talk down to no one. Don't make anyone feel inferior to you. Because we are all of us, not exactly where we think we should be. Trust me on that one, my friends. So once again, please go to MaximumLibertarian.com. Find out how you can help us out right now, because we've got some things in my little pea brain, that little penny in the drawer, that when I shake my head, I can hear that penny rattling. Please go to MaximumLibertarian.com. You're going to see how you can help us. Subscribe to our X account in YouTube, Odyssey, Rumble. And until next time, if I may leave you with one of the great lines from a television show, Trailer Park Boys. And Ricky's father, Ray. And that's the way she goes.